so today we are continuing, not continuing, we're starting a preaching series called The Balancing Act. Charles Blunden. I know y'all looking around like, who is that? Because most of us, if not all of us, we don't know who Charles Blunden was. I didn't know until a few weeks ago as I was doing my studies, but Charles Blunden was the first man to do the tightrope across Niagara Falls. Y'all imagine it for a minute. So some 160-foot fall to the bottom to this water that he walks across the Niagara Falls from Canada to the United States. Nothing more than a small wire on the ground and a pole in his hand that he walks across. We can imagine that for a minute. Think about the sound of the crashing water below him. But fearlessly, he walks on the tightrope. He walks across. And he does some other things, too. And so after he does that, he takes a wheelbarrow. He takes a wheelbarrow, and he goes across the Niagara Falls on the tightrope. Then he takes a sack. He gets in a sack, and he goes across the Niagara Falls in a sack. Then he takes a bicycle and he goes across the Niagara Falls on a bicycle on this tight rope. It became a balancing act. The people from all around the world came to see Charles Blunden walk across the Niagara Falls on a tight rope. Let's be honest. Most of us would not dare to do something like that. Can I be honest? I'm afraid of heights. And so you get me more than 5, 6, 7 feet off the ground, I'm through, y'all. I'm shaking in my boots. I'm afraid. And so certainly most of us would not do that. But I think all of us know something about this thing that we call the balancing act of life. But sometimes it can be challenging, y'all. It can be hard as we try to balance our lives out. We try to balance out our work schedules, our family schedules. We try to balance our health. We try to balance all of these things. And sometimes, y'all, the balance is out of sorts, and sometimes it seems like we fall. Like walking a tightrope, we feel like we fall off, that we have to learn how to navigate conflict, y'all, in times of conflict. That we have to navigate our time, do our time right, our time management right. Time seems to run out so fast these days that we have to manage our relationships, that we want healthy relationships and not unhealthy relationships. And so where do we look to? We're trying to find these life management skills. Again, when life is life, and where do we find the skills to do that? How do we navigate this thing called life? That sometimes we look to books, we look to gurus to help us to manage our time, to manage our life. But how about this morning? Why not look to the giver of life? And that's God all by himself. That God can help us to manage our lives, manage our circumstance, our situation, to balance out our lives. This God who gives us life and eternal life. So in this first lesson in this series, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as we look at verses 7 through 10. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it reads as thus. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And so this ability that we need, I want to talk about first, this life skill, it's titled this, Bouncing Back Power. Yes. Bounce back power. Looks like some of us need to bounce back right now. We need to wake up in the house today, y'all. I need somebody in my amen corner this morning. Let me know that you're in the house today. Come on, can we give God praise one more time? Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy, amen. And by bounce back power, y'all, I'm talking about the ability of supernatural resilience. The ability to come back, to bounce back, to cope and to recover from whatever life throws at you. Because life can bring us some significant challenges. Have you ever been dealt a hard blow and feel like you won't get back up again? That you were not going to get back up again? I think about the story of Naomi and Ruth in the Old Testament, and how Naomi lost her husband. She lost her two sons, and she was in despair. And so she travels back home to Bethlehem in Judah, and her friends greet her, and they say, "What's up, Naomi? We ain't seen you in a minute, girl. Where you been? How you doing?" And what did she say? Don't call me Naomi. She said, "Call me better." Because she felt like God had dealt her a hard blow in her life. And maybe somebody feels that way today, and maybe your name today is bitter. Maybe your name is angry. Maybe your name is lonely today. Maybe your name is depressed. Maybe your name is stressed out. Maybe your name is just sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I want you to change your name today, because you can bounce back. Because God has given you and me supernatural resilience to be able to come back and to bounce back from whatever we're dealing with in life. Y'all, I love the comeback stories, the comeback movies that we see out today. But my all-time favorite, I've told this story before, let me tell it again because I like it, is the movie Rocky. So some of y'all still remember the movie Rocky. Some of y'all remember Rocky. Rocky has, like, in its franchise, there's like some 9 movies in the Rocky franchise. But I like the original movie, y'all. And so y'all know that Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion, that he was the underdog when he went into the ring with Apollo Creed. And so the first few rounds in that boxing match, you know, Apollo Creed, he's mopping him up with the floor, y'all. He's beating him up. And Rocky gets a couple of good licks in, but that's about it. They go back in for the next few rounds. Rocky gets a couple of licks in, but Apollo gets him an uppercut, boof, and Rocky goes down. That his manager says to him, "Don't get back up. Stay down, Rocky. Rocky gets back up to his feet. Y'all remember that part where he's getting beat up. He goes to his corner and he sits down and he's bloody and he's beaten. His nose looks like it's broken. He's got blood coming from everywhere. He said, "Cut me, Mick." And Mick has to cut, and the blood gushes out. Y'all remember? I'm being a little graphic now, but I love the movie, y'all. But then all of a sudden, y'all hear that music. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And Rocky goes to work, man. He's pounding on Apollo. They going toe-to-toe. They doing it, y'all. Eventually, they call the match. Apollo Creed wins. But he says to Rocky, "Listen, we ain't gonna never do this again." That Rocky gave him a run for his money. That Rocky is a symbol of resilience, y'all. He's a symbol of what it looks like to bounce back and to come back despite the odds, despite being the underdog. Now, text today, we see another underdog. The Apostle Paul and his faithful crew of followers, they dared to step out into the ring of life and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their opponents were the Romans and the Jewish leaders, that they did not want to see them succeed. But Paul endured, y'all, a whole lot. He endured being whipped and stoned and mobbed and imprisoned and shipwrecked and mugged. And he endured sleepless and exposure to thirst and hunger. He was left out to dry. But in the face of all of this opposition, this attack, and all of his haters, Paul and others refused to give up. They refused to throw in the towel, no matter how bad it got. And hopefully I'm talking to somebody today. Don't give up, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it is. Don't give up. That God has given you and me the ability of supernatural resilience. That Paul lets us know that God's people possess resilience. That we possess bounce back and come back power. Does anybody believe that today? You may feel like you're the underdog. But you have spiritual toughness on the inside. Your back may be against the rope, but you still have hope. God enables you and me to spring back, to fight back, to come back, to bounce back, to get up again. All right. And what I love about this text is that Paul gives us really 4 statements. He takes the time to give us 4 statements of what it looks like to come back from different forms of opposition. So look with me in the text this morning at what Paul says. We're just going to walk our way down the text. He says this first, that we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. This word press or pressing is, it's the image of walking through a crowd, that a crowd that's enthroned all around you. It's the image of the woman with the issue of blood as she's trying to get to Jesus. The Bible says that she came into a press, that she's trying to get to Jesus, but she can't get to Jesus because of the crowd, because of the press. And maybe someone here today, you feel, I'm trying to get to the Lord. I'm looking for Jesus, but there's a press around me. There's something around me. There's a crowd of circumstances around me. There's a crowd of people around me that are stopping me from getting to where I'm trying to get to. But as long as you're trying to get to Jesus, you don't have to fight too hard, because he's always present. Pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed. It's also the image of grapes in a wine press. The pressure of life has a way of squeezing in on us, and we feel like we're crushed and we cannot get back up. Somebody said it like this: we catch it from every direction, but don't let them squeeze the life out of us. Is there somebody here today, you feel like the life is being squeezed, if that's even a word? It's being squeezed and squeezing, whatever the word is, out of you. Come on, grammarians in the house today. But you feel the press, you feel the squeeze. Maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's in your body, maybe it's dealing with your health, maybe it's with your work, maybe it's with the chaos and the confusion that's happening in the world, but you feel the press, you feel the squeeze. You feel as if you're almost crushed. Let me encourage you, don't let pressure defeat you. I give this image in my own way. Think about a sponge, a big sponge. You take a sponge and you dip it down in water. You let it sit there for a minute, and you take it and you squeeze it out. And you squeeze it out. Have you ever noticed that when a sponge is big enough and it's wet enough, something can never get the water out of it? You keep on squeezing. You keep on squeezing. And that's the way it is with us, that listen, we've been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been saved by his power. No matter what comes our way, listen, every time we go down and come, you can squeeze, but listen, it's what's on the inside that counts. That we have bounced back. We have bounced back power. That we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Paul also said that we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. He's saying that sometimes we are at a loss and we really don't know what to do. But listen, we can be at a loss, but we don't have to doubt. Because God is always on our, he's always on our side. Sometimes we don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. Anybody ever been in a place in your life when you tried to pray, you didn't know how to pray. You didn't know what to pray. All you could do was sit there and cry out before God because you were perplexed. You did not know what to do. You did not know what direction to take. I've been there before. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, sometimes we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but his spirit, he prays through us with groanings that we don't even understand. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, that we can be perplexed, but we don't have to be driven to despair. Anybody been in a place where you don't even know the right direction to take? I was watching this documentary some years ago, just one of those documentaries, but they were talking about what happens when a car falls into an ocean or into a river or to a lake, into some deep water, and how you're supposed to survive if you ever find it for whatever reason, you drive into a lake and your car goes in, and how you're supposed to survive, because often people, when they go down in the water, They can get through the window, and if you can swim, prayerfully you can swim, that people don't know what the top from the bottom. They think that they're swimming up, but they're swimming down. And eventually they drown because they're going down and down, thinking that they're on their way up. And I think sometimes we can feel that way. We feel like we're swimming up. And after a while, we're going to get air, but all the while, it seems we're just going down and down and down and down. That sometimes we feel that way. We're bewildered. We're dealing with the unknown and the uncertain. We feel like we just don't know what to do, which direction we're actually going in. But I found out something. We can be perplexed. We can be confused. But Jesus is never confused. We may not know the way, but the Holy Spirit always knows the way. then when we follow his guidance, he will direct us in the way to go. That we ought to follow Jesus, y'all. I found out he's a mighty good leader. If you don't know which way to go right now, I dare you to follow Jesus. He will direct you in which way to go in your life right now. That we can be perplexed, but not driven to despair. Remember some years ago, Sister Jackie and I, many years ago, we were on our way from Chicago, Illinois, back to Wichita, Kansas. I was stationed there at the time. I was leaving my grandfather's funeral in Chicago. And being the man that I am, y'all, I'm driving. Now, they didn't have GPS back then. It did not exist. You didn't have something. You didn't have that. You had a map. You may have an atlas. And so I'm driving, y'all, and Sister Jackie asked me, you know where you're going? Yeah, I know where I'm going. What are you thinking about? I know where I'm going. I didn't know where I was going. And finally, she pulls out the atlas. She's looking at the road sign. She said, baby, you know, we right here. I know you know where you're going, but can I suggest to you, maybe we up there, we're going to turn. We're going to get on this highway right here. And, but I knew where I was going, y'all. I give that image because we can be that way sometimes. That we think we know where we're going. We know our direction. And sometimes we're even too proud to say, I'm lost and I don't know where I'm going. And we get confused and we're perplexed. But one thing I know, that when I look to Jesus, when I look to the Holy Spirit, that he will give us guidance. He will give us good direction when we don't know. So again, I say, let Jesus lead you all the way. Paul says this also, y'all, that we are hunted down, but not abandoned. I think it's the King James Version. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. This word persecute, it gives the word of being hunted. It gives the impression of being pursued. It gives the impression of a hunter that pursues its game. I think about those Wild Kingdom shows, the National Geographic Animal Kingdom shows where you see the gazelle sitting out in the field, y'all, and there's a herd of gazelles. There's one that's sitting there. He's chewing on the grass and all of that stuff, and all of a sudden he hears something. He looks around and puts his head back down and starts eating again. He hears something, and like he smells something. But by then, it's too late. That the rest of the herd has left him. That one gazelle is left all by him. He's been abandoned by all of his gazelle friends and family. And what the lion pounces on the gazelle, he takes him down. He's lunch. He's been abandoned. Have you ever felt abandoned? For real, though. I know my wife loves me. But have you ever really felt alone? Have you ever felt if no one really understood where you are in your life? No one really understood you. Hunted down, but not abandoned. I'm sure Paul and his fellow workers felt that way at times. I'm so glad that Paul is so honest. And I'm so glad that he uses the word we. Because Paul lets us know today, we are not alone. It's us. We feel this way at times too. As you're serving God, as you're on this journey, as you're on this walk, there are times, y'all, when you will feel like you have been hunted down and abandoned. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He says, there is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. In that abandonment, we also see opposition sometimes, that people are against us, things are against us, circumstances are against us. Ever felt that way before? Like Paul, to be resilient, we must understand, y'all, that the door of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. Any work you do for God, there's going to be someone or something that's going to oppose you. Hear me in this house today. Any work you do for God, there will be someone or something that will stand in your way to oppose you, to try to stop you. But Paul was determined, listen, it will not stop me. Opposition cannot deter us when we're connected to Christ. As long as you stay connected, opposition cannot stop you. I think Paul talks in the context of his relationship with Jesus Christ and what God called him to do. And God called you to do something. God has given you purpose, and God has given you destiny. There will be something that will stand in your way to oppose you. There are times you'll feel abandoned and knocked down and all of that. It happens. It's the nitty-gritty of life. It's what really happens in our lives. Paul knew folks were out to get him, but he didn't let it stop him. He knew people wanted to take him, but he didn't let it stop him. I wonder how many people are not at church today because they feel like they've been hunted down or abandoned and knocked down, and they refuse to be here. How many people have been hurt by other people, including church people, and they feel like they're down and out and they won't come to church anymore? But the good news for us today is that God gives us resilience, the supernatural ability to get back up and walk again, to hold your head up and serve God well. Paul says we're hunted down, but not abandoned. And then he says this, we're knocked down, but not destroyed. Paul is saying here, listen, we take some hard hits, but the hard hits don't destroy us. It was J.B. Phillips, a great preacher and theologian, that said this, we may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Y'all, if we live long enough, believe me, you're going to get sucker punched. Anybody ever been sucker punched before? You didn't see it coming. There's somebody looking at me like, I'm not a fighter. Yeah, when I grew up, I was a scrapper, y'all. Believe it or not, I used to get beat up a lot, but I didn't mind fighting. I drop over there, I fight. Come on, let's fight. What you want to do? But have you ever been sucker punched where just you're not expecting it, I'll shoop up, and somebody hits you? And sometimes we can feel that way in life, y'all, that things happen all of a sudden. The unforeseen comes out. Emergencies crop up. Incidents happen. You get late night phone calls. Crisis happen, y'all. And something rocks our world. It rocks us to the core. And we can handle, y'all, the regular stuff in life, the regular problems in life, you know, the little fender benders, the stuff that just happens. But sometimes, y'all, it's bigger than a fender bender. It's a tragic wreck. Sometimes it's bigger than just a scratch. It's a bad report from the doctor. Sometimes it's bigger than, well, I just don't have enough money for the month. Sometimes I just don't have any money at all. So sometimes it's bigger than, listen, it's bigger than, I'm going to stay at a hotel tonight. Sometimes I don't have a hotel to stay in. I don't have any money to pay for a hotel. I'm just out. Sometimes it's big, y'all. I'm talking about the real issues of life, y'all. Where the rubber really meets the road and we have to deal with our faith and what we believe about God and whether we'll get back up again or whether we're going to stay down. What will we decide to do? Sometimes we're knocked down, y'all, but we're not destroyed. Real faith knows what Paul knew, that through suffering our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus. That's what he says in the text, that we don't get this pass on. We don't get a pass on suffering, y'all. That just because you're a born-again believer, you got to suffer just like everybody else does. And that we can't subscribe to this cafeteria style of suffering, that I'm going to the cafeteria, I'll take a little bit of that. No, I don't want any of that. I'll take a little bit of this. No, I don't want any of that at all. That's not how it works. That we don't get a chance to choose what we suffer and how we suffer, but we choose how we respond to it. Will we allow the resilient power of the Holy Spirit? Will we allow Jesus to work in us and through us so we can get back up? We can get back up again. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Still, we share in Jesus' suffering so that his life will be seen in our bodies. Suffering is the vehicle to greater faith. Did you hear what I said? Suffering is the vehicle to greater faith. We don't grow strong in our faith being on the mountaintop and everything is hunky-dunky, donky-dory and going well. It's through suffering, it's through pain, it's through heartache, and we grow in our faith this way. And I love, let me back up, this is what I love, that Paul talks about in verse 7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Paul says, we're vessels, y'all, in our humanity, in these bodies, in our humanness. We're just like a clay pot, y'all, that sometimes we're easy to break. We're prone to crack. Sometimes we're cracked up in our heads. Sometimes we're fragile, y'all. We're easy to break and to be chipped. Yeah, think about this. That God chose you and me to place the power of his treasure in these clay pots, in our human frailty. God chose to work in and through you and me. We are vessels that contain the message of God's hope and his love and his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his goodness and his promises and his assurance to carry forth his message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God wants to see people saved. I think Paul said it best. He says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection. But Paul also says, I want to know him, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. I want to know Jesus in his miracle-working power. I want to know Jesus in his healing power, but do I want to know Jesus in his suffering? Would I dare suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ? The suffering is a vehicle to a greater faith. That we're knocked down, but we're not destroyed. So are we? Are we pressed on every side by troubles? Yes, sometimes. Do we get perplexed? Sometimes, yeah. Do we ever feel like we're hunted down? Do we ever feel abandoned? Yes, we do. Do we ever feel knocked down? Sometimes, yes, we do. But I believe, like from the movie Rocky Balboa, and when we think about the Apostle Paul, that we can bounce back, that we can get back up again. Because I believe that God has placed in us the supernatural ability of resilience. That God has a work for you. God has a plan for your life. God has a destiny for you. And God will complete the work, and God will give you the wherewithal, what you need to continue to stand. That we have bounce back power. Some of y'all remember Sir Isaac Newton from school. That he was an English mathematician, physicist, theologian, author, all of that. But in Newton's third law of motion, some of us perhaps remember that, it's the law of action, reaction. It states this, that every action or every force in nature, there is an equal or opposite reaction. For every action or force in nature, there is an equal and opposite reaction. I'm holding a basketball in my hand to demonstrate what Sir Isaac Newton was talking about. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. If I throw the ball down, that's action, but it comes back up, that's the reaction. The action, throw the ball down. Reaction, it comes back up. The harder I thrust the ball down, the harder it comes back at me. Thrust down, it comes back. Somebody better get it right now, because it's almost gone. The harder life comes at us to take us down, there's a power in us that enables us to get back up, y'all. No matter what comes your way to keep you down, you can get back up. That sometimes you feel like you're knocked down, but you can get back up. Sometimes you feel like you're thrown down, but by God's power, you get back up again. But guess what? That ain't all, y'all. Again, Paul said, we have this light in our heart. I love the King. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I don't care what. Listen, it's what's inside that makes the difference. If you took all of the air outside and threw it down, this ball is not getting back up. I'm saying to you, it's what's on the inside of you that allows you to get back up again. That you have the power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. That everything comes to knock you down, you get back up. To destroy you, you get back up. To put you down, you get back up. And you get back up. And you get back up. And you get back up again. That's nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and me. That you have a treasure on the inside. You have the Holy Spirit working on the inside that enables you and me to bounce back, to come back, to stand up, to serve God well, to hold your head up, to tell people about Jesus, no matter what comes your way. No matter what comes your way, who in the house today, you feel like I'm down. It's hard to get back up again. I love what Dunning McClurkin said, that we fall down, but we get back up. But he never says in the song how we get back up. The only way we get back up is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you've been through in your life. You don't know what I've been through, but we're here. That God enables us to get back up again by his power, by his grace, and by his mercy. If there's one ability we're going to need in this balancing act of life, that's the ability of resilience. So no matter what we go through, no matter what we deal with, God still has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And God wants you to get back up. Get back on track. Get back in your word. Get back to prayer. Get back to serving. Get back. Get up and bounce back. And the church said, amen. This early in the morning. So let me leave you real quickly with a few things you can do to walk it out as it relates to resilience. This is something Christians should do. Resilient Christians trust God. God's wisdom is greater than ours. God's power is stronger than we are. His power is greater than our weakness. Resilient Christians trust God. Not only that, resilient Christians pray boldly and approach the throne of grace with confidence that we can come boldly before God's throne of grace. God will help us in our time of need. That resilient Christians, Christians that come back and bounce back, dig deeply into God's word. They lay hold of the treasures of God's word to enable them to bounce back and to come back. And then resilient Christians praise and worship the Lord. Resilient Christians praise and worship the Lord even during adversity, even during heartache, even during pain. They're resilient Christians. Pray. Do I have any resilient Christians in the house today? Any bounce back believers? You've been through some changes. You've been through some changes, but by the power of God, you bounce back. You come back and you can stand up and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 And amen. And amen. God has given us some bounce back power. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this image, for this symbol that the Apostle Paul leaves us. But God, you've given us resiliency, bounce back power. Because God, you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. It's not your plan that we would stay down, but that we get up. We serve you well. So God, I pray for every person that's under the sound of my voice right now. Perhaps there's some relationship that they're dealing with. It needs bounce back power. Let them know that they're resilient. God, perhaps someone's dealing with an issue right now in their lives where circumstances are out of control, out of their control, and they don't know what to do. Let them remain resilient. Give them bounce back power, the power of your Holy Spirit, to stand strong in whatever they're dealing with right now. In these days and times in which we live, God, we need your resiliency. That our focus must be on you and not the circumstances of this world, but on you. So God, we thank you that we can say, like the Apostle Paul, that we may have been pressed down on every side, but we're not troubled. We're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. Sometimes we feel like we're hunted down, but we know that you don't abandon us. That sometimes we feel like we're knocked down and we can't get back up, but we are not destroyed. We can get back up. And it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That there's nothing that we can do without Jesus. Without him, we would fail. Without him, we are nothing. But with him, we can do everything you ask us to do, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. So Holy Spirit, speak in this moment. Speak to that person that does not know you in the pardon of their sins. Speak, Lord, to that person that may not be connected with a local church somewhere where they can worship with other believers, serve with others. Speak, Lord, this morning. Speak to hearts right now. Say to the utmost, all that come to Jesus. Holy Spirit, do in this moment what only you can do. Draw them. And your word says that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your saving power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. And so perhaps there's someone here today, and maybe you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants you to have that saving relationship today. That God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you and me, but he did not stay dead. That 3 days later, this Jesus of resiliency got up from the grave with all power to save you and me. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Perhaps there's someone here today, listen, you're saved. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you're not connected to a local church where you can worship with other believers, serve with other believers, pray with other believers. We invite you today. Living Faith Community Church is a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. And so, receiving Jesus for the first time, or already saved, but want to be connected, we invite you right now. Our ushers are standing in the aisle right now. They're standing in the aisle with their hands stretched out. They want to lead you to room number one to meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. They will gather information from you, and we will welcome you with open arms. Will there be one? We don't rush this moment. Will there be one? This is what it all comes down to. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what it all comes down to. A saving relationship with Jesus. To be connected to a local assembly. This is what it all comes down to. Are you saved? Are you sure you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know that you know that you know that you know? If you are not sure, this is your moment. Hands are extended. If you're not connected somewhere, you need to be connected. Perhaps this is your moment. If not this church, some church. If it's not this church, we can help lead you to the church of your choice. This is your moment. And the church said, amen and amen. Come on, can we praise God in the house today?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.